وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. بارك الله فيك حضرة مولانا سليم صاحب. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His choicest blessings on you and enshroud you in His rahmah. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تتجافى جنوبهم عن المضاجع يدعون ربهم خوفا وطمعا ومما رزقناهم ينفقون فلا تعلم نفس ما أخفي لهم من قرة أعين جزاء بما كانوا يعملون سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al-Ansar International, Malik ibn Dinar rahmatullah alayhi said, "One night I forgot to read my normal supplications and invocations and I slept away. In my dream, I saw a most beautiful young woman with a piece of paper in her hand. She said to me, 'Would you like to read?' I said, 'Yes.' She gave to me the paper and followed. The following was written in it. أَأَلْهَتْكَ اللَّذَائِذُ وَالْأَمَانِي عَنِ الْبِيدِ إِلَّا وَآنِسْ فِي الْجِنَانِ تَعِيشُ مُخَلَّدًا لَا مَوْتَ فِيهَا وتلهو في الجنان مع الهسان تنبه من منامك إن خير من النوم التهجد بالقرآن Have pleasure and desires distracted you from fair female companions in the gardens of paradise, where you will live forever, in which there is no death, where you may frolic in the gardens with beautiful women. Get up from your sleep, reciting the Quran at the time of tahajjud is far better than sleep." Azhar ibn Mughith rahmatullah alayhi, who was from amongst those who constantly engaged in worship at night, said, "I saw a woman in a dream who did not appear like any of the women of this world. I said to her, 'Who are you?' She replied, 'I am a hoor, a doe-eyed damsel of paradise and Jannah.' I said to her, 'Marry me.' She replied, 'You may propose to me, my master, and pay me my dowry.' I asked, 'What is your dowry?' She replied, 'Getting up for tahajjud for lengthy periods of time.' It is related with regard to Ala ibn Ziyad, rahimahullah, that he used to complete one recitation of the entire Quran every night. On one of the nights, he said to his wife, 'I am feeling a bit weak tonight.' When a certain portion of the night passes, he told her, 'What time? You must wake me up.' When she woke up at the specified time, he experienced a heaviness. So he said to her, 'Let me sleep for another hour.' He then slept. A person came to him in his dream, held him by his forelock and said, 'Wake up, O Ibn Ziyad, engage in the remembrance of your sustainer and he will remember you.' He got up with a fright. Those strands of hair which were held by the person who came in his dream remained standing like that till his death. It is narrated from Imam Abu Bakr al-Turtushi rahmatullah alayhi that he said, "One night I was sleeping in Al-Masjid al-Aqsa. A voice terrified me to such an extent that it almost tore my heart apart. The voice said, 'Akhawfun wa amnun, inna dha la'ajibun, takiltuka min qalbin fa anta kadubu. أما وجلال الله لو كنت صادقا لما كان للإغماض منك نصيب. Is it fear and security? This is certainly very strange. May I be bereft of you from the heart, for you are certainly a liar. Listen, by the grandeur of Allah, if you were truthful, sleep would have no share of you. You would not be sleeping. So by Allah, the voice surely caused eyes to tear and hearts to be rendered asunder. These were very, very pious people, and when they had foregone for some reason, you know, their natural, their habit, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would remind them in some way or the other. And you know, it is mentioned in the Noble Quran, فَتَّهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكْ, you know, for Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, perform tahajjud, you know, قُمِ اللَّيْلِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, stand up for a portion of the night at least, you know. So at least we also must try and endeavor in that particular direction. Today what has happened with most of us is, and I remember, I heard from a very pious man, he says that there was a constant habit amongst humankind to sleep away immediately after Isha. I remember once I had to go to an informal settlement, you know, in near our locality, and this was many years back. I had to drop a plumber off there, and when I went, I found the roads absolutely still, everything dark, and you know, people had gone to sleep, and it was the winter months. I was quite amazed. Then the words of an honorable and pious sheikh reminded me that ever since the introduction of electricity, you know, when it came into the world, and you know, when the first bulb was created, and then you know after that how power lines, voltage, high power cables, and everything happened, and cities like Las Vegas, all the coastal cities in the world are buzzing in the early hours of the morning. Now, normally when there was no electricity, everybody should go and sleep away immediately after Isha. We ourselves have also fallen into this trap here. That after Isha Salat, you know, we have late suppers, we get together, we have braais on weekends, and then we go and sleep past midnight. And then many a times you will find that Fajr Namaz is missed by some individuals. And, you know, it's difficult to get up for Fajr as well. I remember in my young days, I told Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali that, you know, I find it so difficult to wake up for tahajjud. So he told me, he says that, what time do you go and sleep? So I told him about 11, half past 11 or so. He says, you've got your answer already yourself. So what happens is, you try and go early to bed, you know, and it's mentioned, we learn in school, early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. So we must try and inculcate this habit, not to be involved in any worldly activity after Isha Salat. A little bit of Islamic activity, fine, you know, but it should not delay to that particular extent that it even makes it difficult for us to wake up for Fajr Salah, forget Tahajjud Salah. So inshallah, Aziz, we must try and endeavor to sleep as soon as possible after Isha. Train our children also to sleep early. You know, you will see the habits of successful people, and you read about them, great, great personalities. I'm talking of the 20th century, even amongst the non-Muslims. One of the great habits they had was, I read somewhere, that they wake up very early in the morning, you know. And even in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you get up early and then you seek your sustenance, there is a lot of barakah in the hours of the morning as well. So we must learn to sleep early. The daughter of Ar-Rabi ibn Qusaym rahmatullah alayhi used to say to her father, "Oh my father, how is it that I see the people sleeping, but I do not see you sleeping?" He would reply, "Oh my beloved daughter, your father certainly fears the hellfire." Ar-Rabi rahmatullah alayhi says, you know, when you read the story, "Oh my beloved daughter, your father certainly fears the hellfire." Sometimes what happens is that we have a court case to attend in the morning, or we have to submit, you know, something, or we have an appointment with the tax man, you know, from the revenue. That particular night, you're uneasy, you turn and you toss, and you can't sleep at all because you do not know what the outcome is going to be, what is going to be tomorrow. So, you know, you're on a knife's edge. Now, if the world can make us go into that particular situation, then if it comes to the hellfire, I mean, we should be quivering when we think of the hellfire, you know. And immediately, these great people, when they thought of the hellfire, They went onto the Musalla and they turned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, supplicating to Allah to save them from the hellfire. Rabi rahmatullah alayhi says, I went to Uwais rahmatullah alayhi and I found him sitting after having just offered the Fajr Salah. He remained sitting. I thought to myself that I should not disturb him from his tasbih, being engaged in the glorification of Allah. He remained sitting in his place till he offered the Zuhr Salah. He then got up to offer the Asr Salah. He then sat in his place till he offered the Maghrib Salah. He remained seated in his place till he offered the Isha Salah. He then sat in his place till he offered the Fajr Salah. When he sat again, sleep overcame him. So he said, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from an eye that likes to sleep and a stomach that is not satiated and not satisfied. I thought to myself that this is a sufficient lesson for me from him. I then returned. Ahmad ibn Harb rahmatullah alayhi said, I am most astonished by that person who knows that paradise is being decorated from above him and the hellfire is being ignited from beneath him. How can he sleep between these two places? It is related with regard to Habiba al-Adawiyya rahimahullah that after offering the Isha Salat, she would stand on her terrace after having worn her cloak and veil. She would then say, O my Allah, the stars have disappeared, the eyes have fallen asleep, the kings have shut their doors, and every lover is in solitude with his beloved. And this is my position in front of you. She would then begin offering a salah. When the time of dawn break would come, she would say, O my Allah, yea is the night just leaving and the day approaching. If I only knew if you had accepted my night from me, so that I could take delight therein, or that you have rejected it, so that I may be given consolation. By your honor, this will certainly be my norm and your norm, as long as you permit me to live. By your honor, if you drive me away from your door, I will continue coming, for I am convinced of your generosity and kindness. Our Akabirin should also make dua, and they say, Ya Allah, besides your door, there is no other door that we can turn to. Al-Qasim ibn Rashid al-Shaybani said, Zama'ah was living with us in Al-Muhassab. He had a wife and daughters. He would stand up and offer salah for lengthy periods at night. When the dawn would break, he would call out in his loudest voice, O you group of travelers, are you going to sleep the entire night? Why don't you get up and get ready? They would all jump up. Here you will hear someone crying. There you will hear someone supplicating. Here you will hear someone reciting. There you will hear someone performing wudu. When the time of Fajr would approach, he would call out in his loudest voice, it is at the time of dawn that people talk good about their night journey. A grave digger informed me saying, I dug the grave of a man and encountered another grave. I found a skull in this grave. I saw that constant prostration left a mark on the bone. That is the one with the skull. I asked the person, whose grave is this? He replied, don't you know? This is the grave of Safwan ibn Sulaym rahmatullah alayh. So the effect, you know, of your salah and your prostration in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even reaches the bones within your body. Subhanallah. You know, these are speaking of the rewards and the extraordinary sacrifices that the people have made in the past. I remember once a pious person was having a discourse and, you know, says he just closes his eyes for 5 or 10 minutes. And it gives him the satisfaction as if he has slept for the entire night. And then during the night he's engaged in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not speaking of centuries back, you know. I'm just speaking of about 10, 12 years back. There are pious people like this in our midst as well, you know, who have this opportunity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes way in the life of a person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's the creator of time, gives barakah in the time of a person who utilizes it properly in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is referred to as wus'ati zamani, and sometimes wus'ati maqami. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stretches your time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stretches your space. And you find like people like Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, how many recitations of the Quran they would make in one day. So this is very, very unique, very, very beautiful. And if we can just make our lives just a fraction of what these great people had done, and adhered to the do's and don'ts of Sharia, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be so pleased with us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.